Simply courageous. I've been thinking the last several weeks about how it feels right to say those words together. There's a wholeness that comes with it. I think about it even more this morning, but anyway, how to do that. But I didn't put them together. It was this month's reflection materials on simplicity that kind of helped me pull those. Simply courageous, or simple and courage. We talked about simplicity in our discussion group, and then in our everyday lives, right away, as soon as we said the word simplicity, we went to stuff. We went to cluttered basements and piles of paper and busy schedules. We even looked at our busyness as a form of bragging, social interactions and talking about how busy we are. Somebody says, "How are you?" What is your response most of the time? "I'm busy. I'm busy." But there's also this thought about clarity and wholeness. And here's where it was, a different equation of worthy living. And then it was talking about the courage it takes to live out that different equation of worthy living. E.F. Schumacher, who wrote the book, Simple is Beautiful, An Economy as If People Matter, said that any intelligent fool can make things bigger, more complex, and more violent. It takes a touch of genius and a lot of courage to move in the opposite direction. So let's look a little more closely at the words. Simple, simplicity, it's freedom from complexity or division into parts. The synonyms include clarity, restraint, clearness, courage. Courage. It's the choice, the willingness to confront agony, pain, danger, uncertainty, or what? Intimidation. There is physical courage, but there's also moral courage, which is the ability to act rightly in the face of popular opposition or shame or discouragement or even personal loss. In Greek philosophy, courage was one of the four cardinal virtues or pivotal virtues. Courage, prudence, justice, and temperance. Courage, justice, we get those. But hear those echoes of simplicity in prudence and temperance, clarity and restraint and justice. Courage is also a word of the heart. It's that heart metaphor for inner strength. It comes from the Latin word cor and then old French courage. Courage. So as Brené Brown said, courage is a heart word. The root of the word is cor, the Latin word for heart. In one of its earliest forms, the word courage meant to speak one's mind by telling all one's heart. Over time, this definition has changed, and today we typically associate courage with heroic and brave deeds. But in my opinion, the definition fails to recognize the inner strength and level of commitment required for us to actually speak honestly and openly about who we are and about our experiences, both good and bad. Speaking from our hearts is what I think of as ordinary courage, says Brené Brown. What if you changed that word in there to say living? Living from our hearts is what I think of as ordinary courage. The heart metaphor for inner strength. The Tao Te Ching, if I can find where I put that. Oh, no. The Tao Te Ching says that courage is derived from what? It's derived from love. Not fear or anger. Courage is derived from love. Love is simply courageous. In 2011, when the DREAM Act failed to pass. And you remember that the DREAM Act offered a path to citizenship for children who had grown up in America. And then it also offered the route to an education. But it failed to pass. And I remember that we could have gotten lost in the complexity about the whole immigration right argument and arguments and the complexity of that. But we made it very simple. We said, wait, we're talking about our children. We're not talking about others. We're talking about our children, our young adults. And we asked the question, how can this community be a loving and caring community? Made it simple, very direct. We made it that simple and that courageous. And we came up with the idea, let's establish scholarships that make up the difference between in-state and out-of-state tuition, which is what every person who was not documented has to pay. Imagine it costing you several thousand dollars, almost the same that it costs to go at UNC Chapel Hill to go to Blue Ridge Community College. That's sort of how it works. And we said, let's make up the difference so that it wasn't my idea, really. I thought back. It was my daughter's. Simply courageous. She had to write a persuasive speech for, I think it was Ms. Flexon's English class at Hendersonville High, and she chose to write it on the DREAM Act and making the case for passing it. She said, I have this opportunity. Why shouldn't all my friends have this opportunity? The same opportunities that I have. That's how it got started, in simple love. Not complex, just let's take care of ours. And now it's moved on. The scholarships have been happening for 4 years, five years. And scholarships are now lives lived. Their opportunities taken. Their paths started. And they're examples of courage and the heart of the young adults who've made these scholarships real. Through just the struggles of going to college and the difficulties of that, and then the difficulties of working other jobs, and I can tell you early on, it was even having to drive particular routes to school that knew where the sheriff's ICE traffic stops were so that you could make it to school every day and then come home. Courage. So when you hear stories of people who struggled and didn't make it, that's a detail. They took the opportunity and they worked and they're trying to juggle all these different pieces. They lived the journey and the opportunity. They lived the hardships. They changed our world. Simply courageous. And I would say to all of these young adults, we started out by saying what with the scholarship, even if nobody recognized it. We started out by saying what? Simply, we love you. That's it. That simple. And we took the courage to act on it. And then all of those students have lived the courage to make it real. So we say we love you, and then we say thank you for the hope, the inspiration, the goodness, the rightness that you share and allow us to share in. The first stone I dropped in there was hope. And by looking at this, we see how our world can be and can be good and feel good in love. Simply courageous. How much better we all are. So we say thank you with deep gratitude. Judy.
I'll speak more after, but I want to give Daniel a chance to speak his story right at the moment. It's my pleasure to welcome and introduce to you Daniel Perez Flores. He's a rising senior at Brevard College, and this will be the second year we've supported him in the coming year. So come on up, Daniel.
Hello, my name's Dan. My name's Daniel. As she said, I'm be a senior at Brevard this fall. I'm getting my pre-med, which is exciting. So, first question is, what is a dreamer? I mean, all y'all hear this in the news and stuff, and then I believe the dreamer is what's left of the American dream, which is kind of ironic because, you know, dream, American dream, dreamer, kind of fits. Why I say this is because the American dream is pretty much people coming from nothing and having a great life. My parents came from Mexico. They lived in a rural town. A lot of times their only meal was one pot of beans for the whole day. My uncle told me his first pair of shoes was at age 11. And going 11 years without shoes, he hated them. So he was telling me he always throw them in the streets so it can get run over, but eventually he grew up and started wearing shoes. For me, I don't know how this happened, but my mother said, when you grow up, you're going to be a doctor. And I was like, okay. As I kept getting older, I realized I kind of like this idea of becoming a doctor. The reason is, I don't know why, but I like to help people. Only problem I have is I don't go out openly. I'm more of a person of, hey, I need help. Okay. I don't do, you need help? I don't know why. I think as a doctor, though, I will have a lot of patients coming to me asking for help, and I'm glad I'm going to help them. And this is why I'm here, because of you. You are helping me get through college, which is not easy, and it's expensive. In the end, I think we all just kind of want to make a difference in this world. And just the smallest effects can change everything, like the butterfly effect. Because all you really have to do is just plant one flower and just walk away. Next thing you know it, that flower is going to grow. A bee is going to come and feed on it. And in turn, from feeding all that flower, it's going to fly around and pollinate. So maybe you'll come back in a year and you'll realize there's not one flower. There's a whole flower bed. So I just want to say thank you for helping me with the scholarship. It helps a lot, even if it's a little bit, in hopes I will help other people have a better life.
That butterfly effect, you couldn't have said it better. As Jim described, the Dream Scholarship began with an idea. It officially began in the spring of 2012, and we made our first awards for the 12-13 school year. And we've given a total of 21 scholarships to 14 different young people. I actually went and dug up all their names. So a few of the other stories of what your funds have supported over those years. Carolina, who is actually Daniel's cousin, graduated from Brevard in June of 14, and now she co-owns a restaurant with her partner. America graduated in January, just a few months ago, with a master's in the art of teaching ESL, has her first job, and has already won an award as a new teacher. Alan is continuing his studies, but he no longer needs our scholarship because he's in a sponsored fellowship with GE, who's funding the remainder of his education. There are three current students whose scholarships are being renewed, and we're considering new scholarships for the coming year. Gabriel, who we had award funded, is now covered entirely by his school and his parish, so again, doesn't need us anymore. So these are seven, of those 14 kids, seven wonderful success stories. And then there are seven who, as Jim mentioned, have faced challenges, mostly due to those work responsibilities and the cost and the need to have a full-time job and thus a lesser course load. But their lives have still changed ours, And the ripple effects still go into the community because most of those young people are still in school, just in a lesser capacity, less courses. We did find in the first year or two that a few of the candidates were not quite ready for school. And so the Dream Committee embarked on a new dimension this year. I'm excited to tell you they recruited and trained mentors for first generation, to work with first generation college students starting in ninth grade to help them understand what classes you need to take on that college track and how to choose those classes and develop study habits. And this program isn't limited to the Dreamers. It's anybody who's first generation college track. How to prepare for the tests that are required, how to make those scholarship applications and the timing thereof. But there is a group of mostly retired adults who are working in the schools right now. And if you're interested, I can hook you up in that training program so you can do some of that mentoring too. We welcome it. But the simple truth is that we in Henderson County are changing lives, and we're changing our community. We just last month added a new congregational partner, so we're up to seven. Us, Immaculate Conception, First Congregational, St. James Episcopal, Holy Family Episcopal, La Capilla, and now Unity. And there's a movement. I left my phone. There's a new app just for these scholarships. It's called the Dreamers Roadmap. We're not yet on it yet. Our scholarship's not yet on it, but anybody who knows technology is welcome to come and help us do that. We started with an idea to be loving and courageous in the face of the complexity of that Dream Act defeat. And in the 5 years we've been doing this, we've helped nurture the butterfly effect for Daniel and Alan and America and Gabriel and the other Carolina and the other Carolina and Itzel and Jasmine and Gabriel, did I say? I said. And all of those 21 young or 14 young people. In those times of challenge and anger and fear, it is that simplicity of touch, of love, of courage and connection that sustains us, that heals us, and that creates the world we seek. Love in the face of fear, love in response to hate, love to build and nurture and sustain dreams. And now's the time I'm supposed to ask you to give really, really generously so we can keep nurturing and building and sustaining those dreams. Because the reality, while this is an act of love of this congregation, those scholarships do take funds. And we have three renewal and five potential new applicants that we're interviewing for this year. So I encourage you to give generously so we can keep touching and changing the lives of this community, the lives of our young people, and building and nurturing and sustaining dreams.